Thank you. Okay, so I'd like to read from for today from July 12th, page 194 to start. It is not often that any man can have so much knowledge of another as is necessary to make instruction useful. Samuel Johnson. What is simple for another may be difficult for me. What is fearful for that person may not be so for me. What is in each person's head is a sum total of experience from our very beginnings. I can share experience, strength, and hope, but I cannot teach a newcomer the path for lo of long abstinence. To get from here to there takes time. It is experience, the process of recovery, more than the result, that contributes to sensitivity, understanding, and wisdom. Advice to another can be an insult. Listening can be a godsend. For each compulsive overeater, working through is the path to joyous freedom. For today, the highest service I can give to my fellow OAs and they to me is to share experience. There are no instructors in this program. I just wanted to share that because I can only share my experience, strength, and hope, what worked for me. And, there are no instructors in this program, and I suggest just keep coming back. Now, I just want to make a quick reading from the big book, page 25. Is a solution. Almost none of us like the self-searching, the leveling of our pride, the confession of shortcomings, which the process requires. For its successful consummation, but we saw that it really worked in others, and we had come to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life as we had been living it. When therefore we were approached by those in whom the problem had been solved, there was nothing left for us but to pick up the simple kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet. We have found much of heaven. And we have been rocketed into the fourth dimension of existence of which we had not even dreamed. And the great fact is just this and nothing else, that we have had a deep and effective spiritual experience, which has revolutionized our whole attitude toward life, toward our fellows, and toward God's universe. The central fact of our lives today is a certain absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way in which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could never do by ourselves. Thank you for letting me share that. Just real quick, I'd like to show some pictures. This was me. This was also me. This was me expecting. I think I was 9 months pregnant. This was me. And lastly, this was me. This is me now. I have been abstinent since September 1st, 2019, which is going on 5 years this September, back to back. But not squeaky clean, I'll have to admit. I did have slips. And I have been at goal weight since July of 2018. So I am jumping around a little bit, but I'd like to share that I can admit that right now I am numb to food and that it no longer controls me. It no longer has the power over me. I could look at something which once did call to me, and it does not call to me anymore because I have successfully surrendered and I've replaced power that food have over me with the power that my higher power has over me, whom I call God. So for me, there always had to be another bite until it was all gone. My thighs were rubbing together. I was out of breath, climbing the stairs, walking quickly to answer the house phone. I was on high blood pressure medication, which I no longer have to take. My self-esteem was in the toilet. I was very uncomfortable in a seatbelt in the car. I had all different sizes of clothing, which I would have to try on every season, and sometimes at the end of a season too. I was never the same size. I would eat the whole bag of crunchy stuff or a half gallon of you know what. I was over 200 pounds in my pregnancy, which caused me to have a glucose tolerance test. Luckily, my son was fine. Growing up, there's lots of abusive discipline. It was my job to save my siblings. My family was dysfunctional. My mom was a rageaholic, very perfectionistic. On the outside, you would think we had this perfect family. And it was loving, it was love, but my mom really did not have the tools she needed to raise five children, basically on her own. My dad worked two jobs. And when we would tell, I would tell my dad what was going on, my dad would say, "That's the way she is." And he would bring home sweet stuff at the end of the day, as if that was supposed to make everything okay. But they gave me everything, and they still do. So I do forgive them for the things they couldn't give me, because emotionally they didn't have that to give. My dad passed last November. So things are still changing for my family. I was date raped at 15. I didn't want to wear form-fitting clothing after that. In 1985, I had a bipolar episode, and that was really when my eating started to get out of control. I was eating to try to feel things. I felt numb, and in 1986, I had two suicide attempts. But the wake-up call to finally start losing weight significantly was after my hematologist said, after my pulmonary embolus in 2007, my hematologist said, "What are you trying to kill yourself like with your weight?" And my doctor said, "She was so rude to you." But I said, "No, maybe I didn't need to hear that." For me, it was fast food every day. I would come home from work and just try to decide which one I would drive through. I would eat the entire bag of microwave fluffy stuff. But it wasn't what I was eating, it was what was eating me. In 1989, to jump around a little bit, I gave birth to my son, and because I have a history of mental illness, I couldn't be trusted with my own son. I had a psychotic episode, and I had to be supervised. I wasn't separated. My mom wouldn't allow it, but I was supervised. And at a month old, he was fine, and I was fine, and we were on our own. So that was great, because that's all I ever wanted, was to be a mom. In 1995, I tried to get pregnant again. I got off my meds. I had to be off a month, but before that month was even up, I was in the hospital. And a month in a partial program, and I decided I couldn't do this to my 6-year-old again. In 2007, a blood clot had come off in my leg after 2.5 hour car ride, and I almost died, and I had a filter implanted in my vena cava. Then a few years ago, I think 3 years ago, I had something called AIDP, which is acute inflammatory demyelinating polyneuropathy. Basically, what it is a numbness that starts from one foot and creeps up your leg and then starts in the other foot. For me, it did anyway. And I was hospitalized during COVID again. Right after that, we went on vacation with a raging alcoholic, and I could really see what this disease does for people, what being an addict really meant. I bring my own food to parties. I bring my own food to weddings. Back in when I was in my disease, I would hide in the kitchen and eat and think no one could tell. Like, even with all my weight, that no one could tell. I used to turn to food long after it stopped comforting me, long after it caused me misery and discomfort. I would lie in bed, so very, very uncomfortable, uncomfortable beyond belief. The last time that I did that, the last time I binged, I could not breathe. The food was pressing up against my diaphragm to the point that I could not breathe. I was crying to God, just save me. And the next day it became absolute. For
Five
me, it
minutes.
was a disease of 5 minutes. Did I hear 5 minutes?
You did,
Yes.
yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you. For me, it was a disease of loneliness.
You actually have 10. I'm sorry. I had said it for 15. So
Thank
you have
you.
10 minutes.
Thank you very much. So for me, it was a disease of loneliness. It was like being in a mousetrap. I am not a normal eater. I need an action plan for parties and holidays and restaurants. When I go to restaurants, I look up the menu ahead of time. When I go to parties, I try to go for the fun and not for the food. Now I act as if I'm going that I'm going to have a wonderful time. I'm going to smile. I'm going to talk to others, and I'm going to enjoy myself and have peace in my heart. I bring my own food to the party in case I need, and most of the time that's what I eat. I have many sponsors. I've learned something from each of them. I do the next right thing. I trust my intuition. I trust the surprising, uninterrupted, undeserving presence of my higher power in my life. My higher power is awake 24/7. I can lie in bed thinking about food, but I can turn it over. Even if my stomach is growling, I say to myself, maybe I'll lose a little weight. For me, that's the willingness. I went to a store once with my sisters, and it was a secondhand store, and it was enormous. I mean, literally enormous. And I said to my sisters, I can't find any pants that fit. My sisters were like, you've got to be kidding me. But I knew unless they were elastic waist, they weren't going to fit. Because the way that I was binging at the time, there was just no two ways about it. I was going to go through sizes like in no time. Step one, I am powerless. It's not the first thought for me. It's not the first bite for me. It's the first thought. It's an obsession. I am in therapy. I have a sponsor. I have sponsees. I have buddies. I am not meant to do this alone. I am very grateful. I belong here. Outside, I'm lost. In here, I'm found. Thin does not equal well. I have to do the footwork and work the steps and use the tools. You, having faith does not mean everything is going to be okay. It means that no matter what happens, I will be okay. And after my two main bipolar episodes, this is a lot to take in. I had to find what was good for me. I had to find the God. I'm not trying to be perfect. I'm trying to be happy. For today, I choose to self-love and self-respect and a higher power who loves me unconditionally. I try to set boundaries with my family and others. I don't take criticism well, but it does tell me what I need to work on, which is a good thing. I ask myself a few simple questions. What is my abstinence? Red light, green light, and yellow light foods. What is my abstinence date? Do I have a sponsor? What is my home group? What step am I working on? And what service commitments do I have? I have action plans that I write on these little index cards. I have one for someone's house, one if I'm going to somewhere that's a buffet, one if it's a restaurant, one if it's a party, which for me is most challenging because just sitting there on this food in front of you and it's hard to detach. And I also get a list of people who I can text at the party before, during, and after. I bookend. I have a registered dietitian who set my food plan, and I maintain my weight. I eat at set times. If it's not my time to eat, I accept that. I attend as many meetings as I can. I keep coming back. This is, for me, the easier, softer way. I keep an anchor in my pocket if I'm going somewhere, a smooth stone. And I have a bracelet on my wrist that reminds me of my abstinence. Mine has the Serenity Prayer on it. I also have a list of things I enjoy other than food, like scented hand lotion or the smell of mint in my garden or going for a walk or taking a bath. You wouldn't take medication when it's not time to, so why would you eat when it's not time to? I like listening to OA podcasts, nasaoa.org. If you go to the tools and more, they have speakers from 2015. From 2010, sorry, to 2015, and they've got some great podcasts. God doesn't take my difficulties. I sit still and look at my life. I slow down and accept the difficulties and do the next right thing. God gives me the power to endure them. When my mother-in-law passed away 7 years ago, and my godmother, who was my aunt, I did lose my abstinence, but I
Yeah.
have gotten it back.
That's your five.
Thank you. I'm happier now than ever before in my life. My relationship with my spouse is better despite some intimacy issues. It's not perfect, but it's so much better than being in the food. Nobody ever forced me to put the food in my mouth. And also, another saying I like is no one ever died of starvation between dinner and breakfast. I really like the disease of the spirit in the appendixes of the Overeaters Anonymous Brown Book, Storybooks, the second edition or the third edition. If you will get a chance to read them again, it's the disease of the spirit in the appendix of the Overeaters Anonymous third edition or second edition. Abstinence is love, self-love, and abstinence is the gift, God is the giver. I pray as if everything happens depends on God, and I work as if everything depends on me. We do the footwork. And food became my everyday companion. At first, I considered it a friend. Later, it became a heavy load I couldn't get rid of, my excess weight. I was eating to escape the horrible thoughts I had whenever I was sober enough to become aware of my situation. I was eating to avoid seeing what I had become. I was terribly lonely. And from page 417, when I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me, and I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's will by mistake. Until I could accept my disease, I could not stay abstinent. Unless I accept life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in this world as on what needs to be changed in me and my attitudes. I'm asking God's help with his plans, not mine. And just real quick, I put my hand in yours. I put my hand in yours, and together we could do what I could never do alone. No longer is there a sense of hopelessness. No longer much we each depend upon our own unsteady willpower. We are all together now, reaching out our hands for power and strength greater than ours. And as we join hands, we find love and understanding beyond our wildest dreams. Thank you for letting me share.